I'm Kate Remington. I'm talking with Mark Halstead. He's the executive director of the Greater Bridgeport Symphony Orchestra. And thanks so much for stopping by the studio to talk about the upcoming season.
Great to be here. We're really excited this year.
And I can understand why, because you've really put together an interesting theme for the whole entire season. It's all about revolution and upheaval and challenges and changes. And right off the bat, I'd love to know how you came up with that idea.
Well, we have a great music advisory committee, and we start these questions by what happened 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and then the Russian Revolution was 100 years ago this coming November. So we thought, well, there's a few Russian composers out there that we might be able to tap into. But we really also then got into the discussion of what happens because of revolutions, and that's how the title of the season, Revolutions and Revelations, came, because the music reveals so much of the tumult of revolutions, especially the Russian Revolution, so violent, so many terrible repercussions over so many years. But if we hadn't had it, would there be a Rachmaninoff or a Shostakovich? And they wouldn't sound the same, I'm sure. So that was our genesis of this. And then we looked at, where else were there great revolutions? Let's go to those. So that turned into the whole season, except for Christmas time. We're going to take a little break at Christmas.
That's good. Give everybody a breather.
Yes.
And it's interesting thinking about all of the places where there were revolutions, because that gives you kind of a peg to hang all of these great performances, great pieces on, starting with the concert on September 16th, which is kind of focused around the Russian Revolution. And it's interesting that you've chosen pieces from before and after, so people can kind of really think about how things change.
They can, I think they'll be able to relate it. They're going to hear it in the music. The music of Glinka is the Russia of the Tsars. It's the Russia that wanted to be Western. So there's a lot of French and Italian influence in Glinka that you don't hear as much in, of course, you don't hear that in Shostakovich. And we jump from Glinka past the revolution into three composers that all had different reactions to the revolution. Perrett was born into it. He had no real escape. And Shostakovich saw it happening, and Rachmaninoff had to leave. He was one of the bourgeoisie that had to get out. But then you look at the relationship of Perrett to the revolution, and until he got out in 1980, there's that mournful quality, that sort of bear with it, we'll get through this kind of suffer with it mentality, but it's beautiful and it's heartrending to hear his music. And Shostakovich, who was on the ins and on the outs with Stalin for so many years and trying to be a good Soviet and doing everything he could to be a good Soviet and getting beaten over the head with it more than once. But the Fifth Symphony is going to be just a great celebration of Shostakovich. And as I heard our soloist, Alex Beyer, say at a concert last week, Shostakovich is always trying to make you feel just a little uncomfortable. Isn't that a little bit about what it was like to be in Russia in the 1930s?
Well,
always feeling a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Always looking over your shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I think with the Fifth Symphony in particular, he really was trying to toe the party line.
He was.
But he was so creative about being able to write in his own voice too. And so he was kind of like, well, not playing both sides of the streets exactly, mm-hmm. but he was able to write something that was personal and meaningful for him while being in this straitjacket that Stalin had put him in.
And imagine that, being such a creative powerhouse and having your hands literally tied, very figuratively tied by the government, and mm-hmm. trying to fit into that at the same time as having to express the fire that was within him. And he did it admirably in so many different ways in the course of his career. Eric was so excited about being able to do Symphony 5. And when Eric gets excited, everybody gets excited. It's very contagious to be in the room with Eric.
I can imagine. And mm-hmm. what's so interesting about putting the Rachmaninoff Rhapsody on the theme of Paganini on there too is that even though he left Russia, he never stopped feeling homesick for it.
Yes. It's and that's part of that, the whole minor key of it, that it starts in with the original theme. And then the triumphant and the awe-inspiring emotion of, especially when you get to the 18th variation. And I actually was present when a few weeks ago we made a presentation of one of the local assisted living facilities. So we had a captive audience of about 35 or 40 people. And we just played a few bars of the 18th variation. And I was able to stand back and watch. The entire audience just fell back in their chairs and swooned.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful. And, of course, Rachmaninoff came to America and sought a very different life than what he would have ever ever had in Russia. There's that sadness. He never stops being a Russian.
Yeah.
And as Gustav Meyer used to say, if anybody thinks Russians aren't passionate, just listen to this. Then he plays some Rachmaninoff. And you can't get around it. But yeah. Such passion. Such
yeah,
passion.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And then from Russia, we go to Spain for the October concert and a work that was written right after the Spanish Revolution by Rodrigo, his Concierto de Aranjuez, which is remarkable for so many reasons, but mostly there's that pervasive kind of nostalgia that he's
yes.
put in it.
Mm-hmm. And I guess in any revolution there would be that, no matter which side you fall on. And, of course, we have Benjamin Verdery is going to be our soloist, and we have a guest conductor for that one concert, Donald Palma. And Don came up with this great theme. We told him we want something that is Spanish. We want something that can also be Latin American and relate to our local community in ways that we probably have not done enough of in the past. So let's see what we can come up with. And Don came up with this amazing program and suggested Aranjuez and suggested Ben Verdery. So we're so excited about that. And it's something that concert particularly can be a real bridge with the Sierra piece and the Casals piece is another one that relates back to the Spanish Civil War, that nostalgia, Song of the Birds, that he opened everything he did from that point forward. This is from my homeland, Catalonia, even though he was in Puerto Rico and America. He that was his homeland. So it's something, though, that we hope that our current audience is going to get introduced to a lot of this music. They don't hear a lot of this, so this will be new on them. And we also hope that the local huge community, Latin American community in the area, is going to get introduced to the symphony in this way. So it's sort of a two-way introduction. It's community meet the symphony. Symphony meet all this great music from the Caribbean and South America and Central America that you never heard before or haven't heard much of. And we know that's going to be a fantastic night of amazing rhythms.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because so many of these composers, no matter where they end up, they're like inseparable from mm-hmm. the country of their birth.
Yes.
Like you mentioned, Casals, too. Mm-hmm. Carries a little bit of Spain with him too.
Always,
so,
yeah.
So it's an interesting way of kind of bringing things together. And you know, sometimes I think things change in not getting lost in translation exactly, but when you are in a different country, you do have to kind of assimilate a little bit, and yet you know, also kind of keep your own home sound and your own comfort level with.
Well, you'd hope that would always come out in art, that a person's origins, which are so important, are going to reveal themselves and enrich the society they come into. And that's the case in all of these beautiful pieces in October.
Yeah.
And big news from the symphony, October 28th, the day of that concert. Eric isn't with us only because he's having his first child.
That's so
exciting.
So
you want to talk about an excited guy and a happy
yeah.
guy? I mean, this is like, that's contagious too. It's wonderful.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
And I love that, as you mentioned, you're taking a break in December for the holiday interlude. And so you've got the Nutcracker Suite, but also Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony,
yes.
which is a really nice pairing.
Mm-hmm. It is. And of course, Tchaikovsky always, I don't know, even from childhood to me, he sounds like Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the Nutcracker, but there's something about that, the snows of Russia. In fact, our little piece of art for this concert is a Russian troika being driven by a Russian driver and through the deep snows, and you just can imagine all this. It's a beautiful combination. And of course, we'll be doing our sing-along portions and some popular music for that too, because our audience really loves that, and we will be doing that as well. Eric's already thinking of creative ways. Last year, he did La Boheme, and he interspersed all kinds of Christmas and Hanukkah music into La Boheme seamlessly. And so the audience would be listening to La Boheme, there'd be a tiny pause, and all of a sudden, oh, it's Silent Night, and the whole audience sings.
Oh.
And he brought in this wonderful young cellist who won our competition a year and a half ago, Julian Shively, who played What Child Is This? Or Greensleeves, mm-hmm. as part of the opera. So it just sort of fell into it beautifully, and we had this great mix, as one of our board members said, very rightly so. You can't have Mimi die and then sing Jingle Bells. It doesn't work. So Eric found a way, and Eric mm-hmm. always does. So we're looking forward to, he's still developing that one. So that's going to be full of surprises and a wonderful warm night for everybody.
Oh, that sounds like lots of fun. And then after that in March, it's the French Revolution.
Yes. And I know that we're probably going to offend a lot of musicologists out there, but It's the persistent rumor that Beethoven wrote the Emperor Concerto for Napoleon, so we're willing to accept that.
There's got to be a reason why it's called the Emperor Concerto, and it probably involves Napoleon in some way. So.
I understand that he never wanted it called that, and that might be part of it. It might go back to that persistent rumor that it's about Napoleon because he liked Napoleon for a while and then didn't, like so many. But it is certainly this great heroic piece, and even though written by a German composer, how beautifully French it is. It just fits so well. And we have Andy Armstrong coming in for that. He's also sort of a member of the GBS family. He got his start at GBS back about 15 or so years ago when he won the concerto competition. And he's always so glad to come back, and we're always so glad to have him.
Yeah.
And then we're going to jump and go after the Revolution, and we're going to go into some Bizet. We're going to do the Carmen Suite and the Fauré Requiem, which ought to be just beautiful. And what a lovely contrast between those two pieces as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's a very rich night of music all around.
Yeah.
And we're going to open with the Marseillaise there. So we are going to be very nationalistic in the beginning. We're going to have a French flag. people might stand up and salute that as well as the American flag.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That sounds really wonderful. And then you're wrapping it all up with the American Revolution. And I'm so curious about this work that you've commissioned in partnership with the Orlando Symphony that's based on songs from the Revolutionary War and the Civil War.
Well, we're so fortunate, Eric, with his wonderful connections, his friendships with various incredibly talented people. Jeremy Kittle, who is really more of a folk songwriter, but certainly capable of great big things like this. When we got talking about this, we realized there is no orchestral music in the United States until you get up to Ives or somebody like that around 1900. So what was going on in America as far as symphonic music? Nothing really in the late 1700s. And then we started to expand it and say, well, many will say, I believe correctly, that the American Revolution was completed by the Civil War, that it needed to iron out all those bugs so that the Civil War became the greater fulfillment of the aims of the Revolution. So then we thought, well, it's all song, and it's all American song. So who better than somebody like Jeremy Kittle to put these together in an orchestral way? He's going to solo on the violin, and he's going to put all this together for us in a brand new piece. It'll be premiered about a week before in Orlando, but we are the Northeast premiere. But we're very excited about that. And of course, nobody knows what it sounds like yet. So we're all on pins and needles waiting and seeing, but I know it's going to be wonderful.
I can imagine. And that's one of the thrills about being in an orchestra, in the audience for an orchestra concert, because you do get to hear something you've never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really significant. And it sounds like it's just going to be this amazing just wash of sound. And
well, that's what we're confident Jeremy can do that, and we'll all be thrilled, I'm sure. We're thinking of it already as, let's see, this could be a new anthem for America here. Could be something really amazing. And when you speak to that period of history, and there's so much emotion and so much contradiction, and these things, if they come out in the music, I think it'll tell a great story. It's about it's song and storytelling mixed together in a very old world tradition coming into the new world, and that is really the bridge then to breaking into thinking about who we're going to put on afterward as we get into the 20th century and orchestral music takes off in the United States. Of course, you have Copland. And Copland, we're going to do Appalachian Spring. We might do, we're hoping, we're working this out, we might do Fanfare for the Common Man just as a beautiful signal event in the concert. But then the other two pieces I'm so excited about because as many people don't know, Scott Joplin wrote an opera, which was never performed in his lifetime except a very small sort of concert version.
Yeah.
And it made its way when The Sting was popular into some arrangements. But Eric and I both kind of got introduced to it at the same time, and we're both listening to it and getting excited about this. This is really American. Wow. And it's all in English, of course. And the theme of the opera is former slaves addressing the superstitious nature of their society and how they're going to shake that superstition and move ahead as a society. So the theme of the concert's amazing. The music is a grander version of any of the stuff that Marvin Hamlisch orchestrated, but it's so wonderful.
Yeah, and it is. And he had such an ambitious goal with it. And the story of the school teacher who wants to banish a lot of the superstitions mm-hmm. through education mm-hmm. is really profound.
It is.
And so it's a really significant piece. And I think there is now, finally, a good performing edition, and it's been staged. But well, it doesn't get performed very often. So
I have news for you on that one. Because, I'm going to tip a little bit of the next piece. Because we, for our final piece, that concert, we're going to have a very expanded orchestration. We're going to have a lot more musicians on stage. And so we're going to have a new arrangement written. So
wow.
Once again, a world premiere here. We're going to use a very large orchestration and see how we can make that Joplin music even more celebrated. We are just about ready to get this signed up, the Harding High School Choir, to sing with us. So
wow.
Again, a great local event. And so they'll do, we're probably going to do the We're Going Around piece from the opera, which is a great, wonderful, rousing vocal. The whole house will be rocking with that one. But with the expanded orchestration, I think it's going to be amazing. And we are talking to a local arranger on that, too. This is a season when GBS is looking at the world, but also coming back around to what can we do in the community. We need to relate to our community that much more. So local talents, in some cases, bringing to light some new revelations, so I can use that term again. But then the final piece is one that GBS hasn't done in its 72 years, has never performed it. Cuban Overture by Gershwin. Is one, everybody says, yeah, let's do that. And then they say, oh, yeah, it's 18 extra musicians. Can't afford that for 10 minutes of music. So we have actually, through a wonderful connection with R.D. Cinto, Bob Cinto has given us seed money to be able to do a great program. We have to hire on some of our contract musicians to fill out. We need 18 extras. So 8 of them will be regular GBS folk. And 10 of them are going to be the top cream of the crop brass and wind percussion students from this area, trained all year alongside our musicians in a mentorship program. So we are going to get that gigantic sound of Cuban Overture out from the Klein. And again, first time in all these years, we've never been able to do it.
That's amazing.
We found a way.
that's fantastic. And it's nice that there's a partner in the community and mm-hmm. then also that you're cultivating these young musicians, because that's a really important facet,
too. It is so important. And actually, I'm putting the word out through this broadcast that we still need a couple positions filled, guys. You real hotshot brass, wind, and percussionists out there. It's by audition, and it'll be with Eric in September. And it's a great program. It's a very low fee on it. In fact, we're willing to forego that in cases where it's really necessary. We want to bring up the best talent in the area and give them that chance to play on stage, real side by side with us, as we very rarely get to do. But we want to have that youth connection more and more and more as time goes on.
Yeah. Well, Mark, thank you so much for stopping by. It sounds like it's going to be just a fantastic season, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come and talk about it.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, and I hope we'll see everybody out there on September 16th. It's going to be a magic night of Russian music, and then you're going to want to come back and see the rest of it.